high on Sunday with a 20% shot at showers, otherwise partly sunny, down to 72 on Sunday evening. Right now we're at 74. 93.5, 95.3, Connect FM.
Mondays and Fridays, it's Brother Johnny, today from New Orleans. Johnny!
CBJ!
Mike Ditka, Hall of Famer, he's in Los Angeles. Johnny, Mike, are you awake?
I'm awake. Wow, it's 5:30
a.m. Yeah, it is 5:35 in Los Angeles.
It's
Tommy,
but I'm
always. Well, I tell you what, I remember you used to call me from the set of Kicking and Screaming. And yeah. I said, Mike, that's a little early. He says, I'm up. Believe me, I'm up. Yeah. Well, listen, great to have both of you on. The biggest story in the country, I think, in the last 24 hours was the scathing, damaging report that came out from former FBI Director Louis Freeh about the Penn State scandal.
Taking into account the available witness statements and evidence, it is more reasonable to conclude that in order to avoid the consequences of bad publicity, the most powerful leaders at Penn State University, Mr. Spanier, Schultz, Paterno, and Curley, repeatedly concealed facts relating to Sandusky's child abuse from the authorities, the Board of Trustees, the Penn State community, and the public at large. They exposed this child to additional harm by alerting Sandusky, who was the only one who knew the child's identity, about what McQuarrie saw in the shower on the night of February 9, 2001. We never had the opportunity to talk with Mr. Paterno, but he did say what he told McQuarrie on February 10, 2011. When McQuarrie reported what he saw Sandusky doing in the shower the night before, quote, you did what you had to do. It is now my job to figure out what we want to do. What was to figure out here? It is critical that Old Main, the board, and the Penn State community never forget these failures and commit themselves to strengthening an open, compliant, and victim-sensitive environment where everyone has the duty to blow the whistle on anyone who breaks this trust.
Mike, this is a pretty bad report.
Yeah, I would say that's about as bad as it could be. Yeah, it really is. And, you know, it's really a shame. And I think you can understand it. You can't justify it. You can understand what happened, why it happened, but you can't justify it. No.
Well, and it's the worst thing is it's not just a cover-up. You could almost, it's almost a complicity because there was no, it went on. The cover-up included the activity continuing, which was a disaster. So that's about as bad as it can get. And, of course, that's a shame.
Is it a football thing? Does the NCAA, I mean, they're talking about all the football sanctions. I mean, it wasn't an advantage to gain athletes. The athletes certainly weren't involved in this, but certainly the administration and the coaches knew. So is this a football issue, Mike?
Well, it's not to me. You know, it's something that it's a terrible wrong. You can't undo it now. You can't change it. Yeah, you can go back and you say, well, you know, we're going to punish these people the way we, or we know how, which is through lawsuits, basically. But, I mean, I don't know that I don't think it should be, well, Penn State should be taking away scholarships or things like that, because there are a lot of good people at Penn State. There are a lot of people who had no idea what was going on, none of this happening. And you know, all of a sudden now, they're going to be lumped into it, and all of a sudden you're guilty by association. I don't know that that's right.
Well, the thing is, it's a level two, Mike. I'm not sure you worry about any sort of sanctions for the football team. The university is going to have to fight for survival at this point.
Oh, yeah, that's the big problem, John. You're right. There's a lot of stuff coming here, and we know that not that it's right or wrong or whatever it is, but that's, you know, it's going to happen. There's going to be lawsuits coming out of the wall. And it's going to be an ugly situation, and a lot of this stuff is going to be revisited over the next couple of years. It's just going to be a shame.
You know,
only 4 or 5. It's interesting, Steve. You know, we definitely use our athletic program, and some of us are athletes, to build our images. You know, But that is a double-edged sword.
Yeah.
And when you get your image up there...
We can't forget this now. You know, the image of Penn State athletics is very, very good. Very clean, very good. I think you're talking about one individual now. But, I mean, that's the problem. You know, one individual has brought down this whole program. And recently he brought it down. The only reason it came down is because the other guys did nothing about it.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And that's the problem that lingers, and that's why it's a lot more serious even than it was, which was bad to start with, Steve.
Yeah.
And now you hear that maybe they could have stopped it is, I think, the big problem. And that Mike's right. It's all the people at Penn State had absolutely nothing to do with any of this. And yet the institution, has to plow through this, and it's gonna set them back.
I think of Mike McCreary, who actually witnessed what went on in the shower. This is an assistant coach, former quarterback, Mike McCreary, in 2001. And he goes to tell Joe Paterno. And then Mike puts his headset back on and continues to be assistant coach till, the last year. I mean, this guy watched this, Johnny. I mean, wouldn't you just run to the police and say, I don't care. I saw a terrible thing. And yet all he did was report it and then just put the headset back on and just went on with his business.
Well, I mean, that's... But on the other hand, he probably went to the highest authority that he knew on earth, Joe Paterno. So, and so he was a little confused, and I don't know what he was thinking. But here's a guy, you just said he played quarterback. That you got the one of the icons of American sports, and he told him. He did exactly that, first thing he did.
But if you see a kid across the street at your workplace,
you see what I'm saying.
Well,
though.
I understand that, but I mean, if you see somebody beating the face in of a kid across the street, and you run in and tell your boss, and then you go back to work, I guess I don't understand the culture, how popular Jerry Sandusky was, how amazingly large Joe Pa was.
Yeah, I don't know.
And when you're surrounded by this legacy of Penn State football, I mean, this is the biggest thing in your life. So you're going to be reticent.
You're right, guys, but it should be a lesson to everybody. You know, I don't care how big you are, you can come down. And when you do the wrong things and you don't, Penn State will never be the same in football. I would say that it'll be very hard for them ever to be a football power again, or maybe even a power in any sport. Now, I don't think they're going to be able to recruit like they have in the past.
I mean, when Ohio State and Michigan and Florida and all these great schools are coming, why would you go to Penn State now? I mean, I wouldn't send my kid to Penn State right now to be a star athlete.
Well, I'm sure a lot of people feel the same way you do, Steve. I mean, I think that's a problem. It's going to be a problem. It's going to linger for a while, and then who knows what will happen.
Yeah. All right, I want to move to Jesse Jackson Jr. Not sure what's going on. Jesse Jackson commented yesterday.
He is on the way home. He's on the... medical supervision. He is regaining his strength. I offer no medical diagnosis, only the love of a parent. And we feel good about his regaining of his strength.
All right, all indications, Jesse Jackson, Congressman Jesse Jackson Jr., not well, and it seems to be something more mental this time, just the way everybody is handling this. I don't know if you've heard anything in Chicago about this, Mike, or not, but it's a pretty big story in our state.
Absolutely. I've heard it. I've seen it on the news, and I don't think I know any more than you know or anybody else knows, but I know what's been reported, and he's certainly... He's under a lot of duress. I mean, there's something going on, and it is an emotional situation, I believe.
Well, I don't know much about that at all. That buried down here in the deep south, Steve.
Yeah, I think it's a big, huge story in Chicago. That's all they're talking about in Chicago media, and certainly in our state. And some people are saying, hey, he has to explain what they said. It's a mood disorder is how they're describing it now. All right, we go to the NAACP. Mitt Romney speaks to the NAACP. He says, I want to remove Obamacare. They boo for 10 seconds. Mitt Romney essentially is giving the same speech every place he goes. Now there are claims from Nancy Pelosi and others that this was all planned to raise the racist issue, that all the racists would want them to boo Romney, and it was all set up.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
It's pathetic, it really is. It's pretty pathetic for people to be playing this card, especially people on the that side of the aisle. I think that the man, I thought he had great courage to say what he said. Now, would he... Should he have said it? I don't know. But he didn't say it for that reason, believe me. He said it because he really thought it might hit a few sympathetic ears and who would listen to why he wants to repeal Obamacare.
It was refreshing to me, Johnny, that he didn't pander. He didn't give them, you know, chicken every pot. He essentially said what he's going to do. He didn't change his message. And they said, oh, he set it up. He wanted them to boo. Yeah, the anti-black people. Oh, I just couldn't believe it.
Well, I think that's just desperate. I thought that Romney, I tell you what, I mean, it was certainly the same speech I've heard him give. And I don't think he expected them to receive it well on every point. They actually clapped for him on some things, Stevie, and he was there, and, you know, and I thought his appearance was admirable. And I also think it the booing helps Romney. That's just the way politics works.
Mm.
So I think that actually turned out to be a plus for him. I think Pelosi might be doing a little damage control, but she's just making it worse, too. So I still see Obama in serious, serious trouble. And I hope, but we'll see. I'm wondering who he's going to pick for vice president. That's really his next big deal.
Well, I tell you what, the buzz is all about Drudge Report this morning, 7:45 on 93.5, 95.3 Connect FM. Brother Johnny and Mike Ditka. The Drudge Report this morning is saying that Condoleezza Rice might actually be Romney's pick.
Condoleezza Rice has said before that she is not interested in being anyone's vice president, but the former Secretary of State is right at the top of the controversial but often accurate Drudge Report, which says she could be the choice despite her clear statements to the contrary.
How many ways can I say it? Not me.
Romney has been very tight-lipped about the VP selection process, and it's not clear where this leak may have come from. Most VP candidates aren't selected until just before the party convention. That's still more than a month away. In Washington, Doug Luzader, Fox News Radio.
And what did Sarah Palin say?
I think her credentials far surpass Barack Obama and Joe Biden.
Hi, Johnny Condi. What do you think?
Well, she'd be a great vice president, and she could be a good president. So I don't know, Mike. I don't know about her on the ticket helping Romney win the election. I really don't. That's the question.
Well, it certainly wouldn't hurt. We don't know what would help Romney win, or if he's going to win, or if he could win, but it wouldn't hurt. I mean, she's an intelligent, attractive woman who is a no-nonsense person, and I like that. I mean, I really do. I don't think she's going to run for vice president. I really don't. But, you know, if she did, it certainly would be a pretty good ticket.
Well, that would be a very strong ticket, Steve, I will say. So,
as far as helping Romney win Ohio or Florida, she probably wouldn't necessarily slam dunk that.
Well, that's my question. I don't know that there's a pinpoint gain. Barack Obama got 92% of the black vote. He's going to get probably 95%. I don't care if you throw in Denzel Washington with Condoleezza Rice. The black community votes Democrat at this point in our history.
I'm not saying it will help. I'm just saying it can't hurt.
Yeah.
That's all.
Well, I'm a big fan of Condoleezza Rice. I think she's a terrific, smart, intelligent. I mean, she has Secretary of State experience. I suppose they'll just drag her down and say she's a George Bush lover. I'm sure that'll come in if they pick her.
Well, it's going to come in. There's no question about it. You know? And also, you know, the shame would be, here's somebody who really gets it and has common sense, which none of these other politicians seem to have. I mean, my God, you watch Biden. You know, what a clown. I mean, what an absolute embarrassment.
This is
the second in office. I mean, what
That's
a clown,
true, Mike.
Man! Absolutely a joke. I mean, he's like a dummy that sits on somebody's lap and somebody moves the strings and he says something ridiculous.
Well, I think one of the reasons Obama liked Biden, it made him look more presidential, and that's been true. That's worked, Mike. That's been effective.
My dog is smart. I mean, my dog is amazing.
All right, Harry Reid is in a lather about the Olympic uniforms being made in China.
The Olympic Committee should be ashamed of themselves. I think they should be embarrassed. I think they should take all the uniforms, put them in a big pile and burn them and start all over again. All if they have to wear nothing but a singlet that says USA on it, painted by hand, that's what they should wear.
Mike?
Condoleezza Rice has said
it is a little bit amazing. I mean, but I don't know why. Listen, I don't know why we couldn't make those same uniforms in this country, but I don't know. I have no answer for it. I don't know.
Well, I don't know what Harry's all fired up for. I don't got a whole lot of respect for him, and I don't think it's that large an issue myself. But
yeah. Well, he was pounding on the podium yesterday, that's for sure. All right, finally here at 10 till 8 on 93.5, 95.3 Connect FM, Mike and Johnny, Mike Ditka, brother Johnny. I want to ask you about Drew Brees, Johnny. I mean, the talk is, on the table, he's being offered to be the highest paid football player in the history of the game. They're roughly $1 million or less apart on the entire deal per year. And they're talking about Drew Brees holding out and not playing under the franchise agreement and not playing quarterback this season for the Saints. Is any of that true?
Well, I mean, that's all true. That's what they're saying. I don't know that there's any intention for that to happen. I think he'll sign. I think there's a little grandstanding going on, but we're just watching. I mean, you're right. He's got a great deal. He wants a $20 million deal, and they offer 19
wow.
for 5 years.
Wow. Mike, so, I mean, that's a lot of money. Mike, it's $19 million. It'd be more than Peyton Manning. It'd be more than anybody ever.
Well, you know, if he doesn't take it and he sits out, the person that's really going to be hurt by it, well, I think the sport's going to be hurt by it. There's no question, but I think he's going to be hurt tremendously by it. And I think in time, people will look at him and not in the same eyes as they look at him now. I think you see the same thing with this Dwight Howard. I like Dwight Howard, but I'll be darned if I can figure out what this guy is doing right now. I don't know how much is enough. You know, and I think that somewhere along the way, both sides, you know, that's what this is all about. You've got to give a little to get a little, to give a little to get a little. And somewhere along the way, there's got to be some kind of a give to get. And I think when you start talking about the kind of money that athletes are making today, guys, I'm sorry. See, I'm a former athlete, and I don't understand it. I don't know why you could be arguing about that little bit of money that means nothing. It really means nothing in the long run.
Yeah,
maybe football is what it means. I don't know.
I don't. And knowing Drew Brees, too, I don't know him personally, but just knowing a little bit about him, he's really a good guy. So I don't really know if this is just publicity or what it is, because I don't see him sitting out, not over that. And I don't think he wants that franchise tag, though, because that's like $16
million. No, one-year deal, and they could actually do another franchise for $19 next year, but it's only a one-year deal. But so you're talking about $19 million. Johnny, what changes a guy's life if he makes $19 million versus $20 million a year?
Nothing.
Nothing.
It's $1 million, but it's not a very significant $1 million.
I'm here to tell you one thing, though. If he doesn't play for a year, if he wouldn't, which I doubt would ever happen, you think he's going to come back in 2 years and be the same guy?
No.
I don't think so. I really don't. I mean, it's not
like no.
He's 21,
exactly.
25 years old anymore. You know, he's in his 30s, I think. And it's not going to get any easier. That's why I can't understand why you couldn't come to. And he's playing for an organization right now that's kind of gone out on a limb for him. They've had a lot of success with him lately. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I would think that my main concern would be to try to walk out of there with a Super Bowl championship.
And of course, as it would happen, the Superdome is host of this next Super Bowl, and the Saints conceivably could play on their home field, which, you know, may or may never happen. But Johnny, wow, what a season for all this to happen to the Saints!
Well, it gets everybody fired up. So if we ever get on track, maybe it'll work for us.
All right, now, are the people of the Saint fans, are they still in Drew's corner, or are they starting to get tired and say, man, he should sign this?
We're all in Drew's corner.
Okay.
We're very tired, and we think he should sign it.
All of the above.
I got to tell you one thing. I did think about Harry Reid and his Olympic uniform.
Yeah.
Maybe the Olympic Committee wouldn't have let the Chinese make our uniforms if Harry hadn't borrowed $4 trillion from them.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's like they have a little leverage over them.
No. Yeah.
And maybe they just said, we want to make them. But anyway, that was off the subject.
No, that's right. That's right. Well, we'll see what happens with Drew Brees over the weekend. Mike, when do you come back?
Well, I'm coming back tonight. I got one more. We're going to shoot some stuff today, and I should be on a flight by about 4:30 today and be back there about 10:30 tonight.
And you are?
Are you making a movie?
No, we're doing some promos for ESPN. That's all.
By the way, Mike, your promos, everything you do on camera, I just think is terrific.
It's great.
I mean, really.
They had me cracking coconuts yesterday and handing them out to the people. I don't know how that's going to come off on film, but pretty interesting.
It's awesome. It's awesome. So the next time we see ESPN with Mike doing something with coconuts, that's today. That's what you're doing here in Las Vegas. So listen, we'll call you on Monday, guys. Thanks again.
All right, Stevie.
Thanks so much, Brother Johnny, in New Orleans. Mike Ditka in Los Angeles. 93.5, 95.3, Connect FM. All right, since we've cured Mike of saying stop it as a catchphrase.
Yes, what a clown. It's crazy, ridiculous, a dummy on someone's lap. I mean, pretty pathetic. We had everything.
Everything but stop it. All right, so Monday, it's $200.
$200?
Yeah.
My goodness.
It's starting to bug me a lot. If Mike ever says it again, he probably will never say it again. I'm not believing this is happening.
Stop it.
I thought we had it today at the conclusion of the Biden comments.
Right.
I said, oh, here it comes. Here it comes.
We're looking
Wait
at each other like, yeah,
Wait for
here
it
comes. I'm reaching for the phone.
$200 Monday.
359-2255.
If he says stop it Monday, it's $200.
Thing is, it's a capital IF if he says
No, I don't ever think he'll say it again, so.